The first reading is from the prophet Isaiah in the 56th chapter, various verses. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my righteousness be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. The epistle comes from Romans in the 11th chapter. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means, for I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he speaks to God against Israel? Now I am speaking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order to somehow make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? As regards the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as regards election, they are believed for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient, in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Matthew 15, verses 21 to 28. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away, for she is crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. He answered, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She said, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. This is an interesting incident in the life of Jesus. And we're going to get to it in just a second. But I wanted to talk for just a moment about last summer, an incident or a visit I had with an old friend in Seattle. We drove from his house to Green Lake, a big park in the middle of the city. And we walked around the lake about a 3-mile stroll. As we walked, we talked. He's a close friend, the kind you can be honest with. So along with all the positives, we also talked about defeats and fears. And we reminisced that the last time we'd walked around Green Lake together was almost 34 years earlier. 34 years ago, both of us were going through rough transitions. He'd just moved back to Seattle and was trying to figure out his next step. And I was on the cusp of the most difficult year of my life. What Marta and I refer to now as our hard year. So just like we'd done 34 years earlier, last summer, this friend and I walked around Green Lake and talked about our hopes and our defeats and our failures. Part of the human experience for all of us, I suspect, is a deep longing sometimes that things were not the way they are. A deep longing sometimes that things were different. Some of us wish things were different in our professional lives, or different in our relationships, or different in our marriage. Some of us wish our children would have an easier time of it. Some of us have longings and fears and grief, so personal and private, and heartbreaking sometimes, that we dare not speak them to anyone. And some of us have experienced tragedy so devastating that time itself is disrupted and our lives are now divided into before and after. All of us sometimes wish we hadn't, or wish we had, but we didn't, and now it's too late. We wish we could, but we can't, and it's crushing. It's just part of the human condition, I suppose, that we long for things to be different, but we're powerless to change things, it seems. That's why the idea of faith is so appealing. Faith fuels hope for the future. We just read this episode in the life of Jesus from Matthew 15, which concludes with Jesus almost gushing, it seems. "Oh, woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." Be it done for you as you desire. Those just might be the most magnetic words ever spoken. I'd love it if everything was done as I desire. That would satisfy my longing. Things would finally be different. You know, there are preachers who would approach this text this way. Jesus praised this woman's great faith. So how do we develop great faith? Here's 7 faith-building exercises you can start doing today to become a faith champion. That's how some would approach this episode in the life of Jesus. But I wouldn't approach it that way at all, because I think that misses the point entirely. This story isn't about what the woman did, or what you should do, even. It's about what Jesus did for her and what he does for you. It's not so much about the faith of the woman. It's primarily about the mercy and compassion and goodness of Jesus towards someone to whom he was not obligated in any way to help. But he did it anyway, out of love. Here's the context. Facing persecution from the Pharisees in the region of Galilee, Jesus retreated with his disciples to where the Pharisees would not follow, the area of Canaan, which contained the Mediterranean coastal cities of Tyre and Sidon. This was not a Jewish area. The people were Canaanites, longtime enemies of the Jews. In fact, we learn in Deuteronomy 20 that many, many centuries earlier, the practices of the ancient Canaanites were so abominable, including the sacrifice of children to fire, so abominable that God instructed the Israelites to exterminate the Canaanites upon entering the Promised Land. So there was some history between the Canaanites and the Israelites. This Canaanite woman, whose daughter was oppressed by a demon, apparently had some knowledge of Jesus, who he was, and his ability to heal. But the remarkable thing about this woman was her tenacity and her trust that Jesus could help her. Where did that come from? Well, we're taught in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 and elsewhere that faith is a gift given to us, conveyed to us by the Holy Spirit. And the tools used by the Holy Spirit to inculcate faith within us are God's Word and His sacraments. You know, we start our worship service every Sunday morning with the announcement that we've gathered to receive the gifts of God. One of the primary gifts of God is faith. And one thing that happens here on Sunday mornings, whether we're aware of it or not, is that the Holy Spirit uses God's Word and God's body and blood in the bread and wine to gift us with faith and to expand our existing faith. It's certainly nothing I do, and it's certainly nothing we can conjure up on our own. It's the work of the Holy Spirit, usually completely unbeknownst to us. But back to our story. The issue with this Canaanite woman is that we read this story and make the assumption that this woman is being rewarded for her deep faith. And Jesus is certainly surprised at the faith of this Canaanite woman, and he's clearly impressed by her faith. But is she being rewarded for her faith? And here's why I ask. There's an almost identical situation in Mark 9 where a father approaches Jesus with a son who is also tormented by an evil spirit. I mentioned this last week. The difference in the two stories, though, is that this father has very little faith. And he cried out to Jesus in desperation, "I believe! Help my unbelief!" So what did Jesus do? He healed the son of the man with little faith, just as he healed the daughter of the woman with great faith. The point being, we don't earn God's goodness and mercy. We don't even earn it by having great faith. Faith is a gift given to us out of God's goodness and mercy. And the bottom line is, you're completely dependent on God's goodness and mercy. And that's a good thing. You can relax because God is thoroughly good and merciful. You know, that friend of mine I walked around Green Lake with last summer, 9 years ago he had a heart attack while driving and drove through a fence and hit a commercial building and lay unconscious and without a heartbeat for 12 minutes. The paramedics came and took him to a hospital where he lay in a coma for 6 weeks. It was anticipated that if he ever woke up, he'd be in a vegetative state. Previously, he coached basketball at a big Catholic high school in Seattle, one of the most successful high school basketball coaches in the state. In a 15-year career, he won 2 state championships. He sent multiple kids to go on and play in college. And 2 of his former players were top 10 picks in the NBA draft. It's incredible. He's very well known in the Seattle Catholic community. And after the accident, there were thousands of people praying for him. Our prayers are not always answered with a miracle. But 1 year after his heart attack and accident and coma, my friend was teaching again. 4 years later, he was coaching. And I hate to admit it, but it sort of irritates me that this guy who was supposed to be a vegetable, I think his memory is better than mine. He's a guy whose faith I describe like this. I believe. Help my unbelief. In other words, he struggled with doubt. But God, in his mercy and goodness, spared his life anyway. You can't earn God's favor and kindness and forgiveness, not even with great faith. You can't earn salvation. You've been saved by grace, God's undeserved kindness, through faith. And the faith you have is a gift from God. Again, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. He's given you all the faith you need, even if sometimes it seems to you like not enough. God's favor and kindness is bestowed on you even when your faith wavers and falters, simply because God loves you. You of great faith, and also you of little faith. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love and compassion and mercy toward us, your people. Lord, help us to recognize the magnitude of what you've done for us. And cause that to fill us with gratitude and love for you, and kindness and humility for one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.